One of the things that we do in this course is we hook you up with an alumni that works in the field. And we call that a mentor. And okay, so we hook you up with an alumni that works in the field, and we ask you to contact them and find out what their job is. What do they do? What's it like working in the field? And to ask them a bunch of questions about what their job is like. Now, I can't guarantee you that the person that I hook you up with is going to be in exactly what you want to get into, but they're out there working in the computer field. They graduated from this program, and they are successfully working in the field. So I give you a sent you an email last night if I've gotten a lot of most of the homework from you. If I'm missing a whole bunch of homework, I didn't send you an email giving you a mentor because I want you to get caught up on the work, and I also, if you haven't been doing the work, then obviously I don't want the mentor thinking you're going to contact them and you haven't. If you are getting caught up and everything, then I will give you the mentor later on. It doesn't matter when it happens. So, and if you just didn't get one and you think you should have, let me know, because sometimes they don't get through or I miss the address or do something. So if you didn't get one and, you know, you are doing work in the course, then let me know, okay? And I will assign you one over the weekend. So the mentors, a lot of people have really come back and said that they really got a lot out of it because they got a chance to ask some of the questions that interest them about what it's like to work in the field. So think about what you wanted, what to ask them, and kind of think about the kinds of things you might like to know, and send them an email. They are usually very responsive. Every once in a while, one of them is stuck on a big project and they don't end up responding as quickly, but usually they're incredibly responsive and get incredibly involved in answering your questions and going back and forth. So take advantage of it because they are a worthwhile resource. And take advantage of it because you have to write a paper on it anyway. So
you're required.
That's right. You're required to take advantage of it. So I'm going to have you write a paper where I asked for two parts of the paper. One is the results of the interview, and the other one is basically do some research about the area you want to go into and write about that a little bit. Okay, again, I don't give links on papers, but probably it should be a couple of pages. If you are capable of conveying an awful lot of information in a very concise manner, that's fine, but I need to have that lot of information. So it probably is going to take you a couple of pages, okay? I developed a very definite talent when I was in college that if somebody said they wanted a 20-page paper, I could expand most anything to 20 pages. I'm not interested in that. I want you to, you know, convey the information, which is why I never give size deadlines, because I know exactly how easy it is to say nothing in a whole lot of paragraphs. Okay, so anyway.
It's a talent of mine as well. It's a talent of mine as well.
That's right. Most college students develop that talent. Okay, I've got 5 pages worth of information and they want 20? Fine. I will say it 5 different ways in 5 different. Okay. All right, all of these cell phones, needless to say, should be on a different mode than they are. So that's the first thing. It's due April 16th. If you need a little longer, let me know. But my point of even having a due date on it is mainly so that you'll get in touch with the mentor and give them a little time. Don't expect that you can contact them the night before the paper is due and get the response that you need. Okay, so I would suggest, as you noticed, when I sent you the email, your mentor got the same email.
I was just about to ask that. Right. Is that him that's...
Okay. Yeah. So I sent you and your mentor the same email so that they know they're supposed to hear from you, and so they're expecting to hear from you because they've gotten the email telling them that it's going to happen. Okay? And for you who didn't, who are way behind, I want you to get caught up a little bit first, and then you can let me know, and I can give you a mentor at that point. And your due date will just be later than that. Okay, now we are going to go back to numbering systems and codes. Again, this is the handout that kind of goes through it. I did a thing about decimal up at the top. Then if you scroll down a little bit, it gets into hexadecimal and binary. Okay, so here is some information on binary. And if you scroll through this, converting decimal to binary. So I've got all of the binary stuff in here. Okay, so we went over binary last time. And I'm going to just go through it very quickly one more time. Okay, binary has the numbers 0 and 1, which means that it is base 2, because there are only 2 digits. Decimal is base 10, because there's 10 digits. Okay, so everything that I work with involves having a place value and a positional value. And you know that in decimal. A 5 in the third position is different than a 5 in the second position, etc. Okay. So in binary, the positional values are 2 to the 0, 2 to the first, 2 squared, 2 cubed, 2 to the 4th, 2 to the 5th, and so on going across. Resolving these, 2 to the 0 is 1. Everything to the 0 power is 1. 2 to the 1st is 2. 2 squared is 4. 6, 8, yeah, 6. And so why didn't somebody yell at me?
I giggled.
Okay. That didn't help. 8, 16, 32. 2 cubed is 2 times 2 times 2, not 2 plus 2 plus 2. Okay, so it's 2 times 2 is 4 times 2 is 8. The positional, the place value, is the digit. So if I have 10110, okay, those are the place values. And if I want to figure out what 10110 is in decimal, I multiply face value or place value. I can actually call it either. Times positional value. Okay, so 1 times 16 is 16. 0 times 8 is 0. 1 times 4 is 4. 1 times 2 is 2. And 0 times 1 is 0. So I add that up and it is 22. So that number that I put up there is 22 in decimal. Okay, it's 22 in decimal. Because the 16 is on, is the way I refer to it. The 16 is on, the 4 is on, so that's 20, and the 2 is on, that's 22. Now, once I know that I've got 22, I can convert it back. Okay, so if I start out with 22 in decimal, I can convert it back. And what I do is I look at and say, okay, 22, can I use the 32? In other words, can I subtract 32 from 22? The answer is no. Can I use 16? Yes, so I'll put a 1 there. So I'm going to subtract 16 and I have 6 left. Can I use the 8? No, so I'll put a 0 there. Can I use the 4? Yes, 6 can have 4 taken from it. So that leaves me 2. So I used the 4. Now I say, can I use the 2? Yes. And I subtract and I have 0. So I use the 2. Since I have nothing left to subtract, I clearly can't use the 1. Okay? So that's what we did last Tuesday, is go back and forth with those two things in binary. Questions? Okay, then the next thing we're going to do is, just to torture you, we are going to do binary arithmetic. Okay. So 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. Okay, I want to add these up. Okay. So, the first thing I need to know is some math facts. 1 plus 1 is what?
2.
No, no such thing as 2.
10, 0.
No, no such thing as 10, but you're right, it's 1, 0. But it's not 10, because 10 conveys the idea of 10 things. Okay, so it's 1, 0. Now I'll do that too, I'll call it 10. But technically it's 1, 0. So 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. So 1 plus 1 is just like, in decimal, 9 plus 1. 9 is the maximum digit. When I add 1 to it, I put down the 0 because there's no other digits, and I carry the 1. And then I bring it down, 1, 0. So 1 plus 1, put down the 0, carry the 1, and then bring it down.
Okay. That's the whole way to do the math.
Pardon me?
The whole way to do the
math. 1, 0 plus 1 is what?
1, 1?
Yep. Uh-huh. 0 and 1. No, she knew what she was talking about. 0 plus 1 is 1. 1 plus nothing is 1.
I don't like this.
I don't care. Okay. 1, 1 plus 1 is what?
1, 0, 1.
No.
1, 0,
0. 1, 0, 0.
Okay.
1 plus 1 is 1, 0.
Yeah.
Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay, so what we have here is, if I look at binary and I look at decimal.
Was that Star Trek episode with the binaries on it?
Now you're all set.
I gotta rewatch that episode.
Okay, binary and decimal. So a 1 is a 1, and at that point, we're done. So we have 2 is 1, 0, right? Because 1 plus 1 we found out was 1, 0. 3 is 1, 1, because we added 1 more to it and it's now 1, 1. 4 is 100, right? Because we added one more and it became 100. What's 5?
Is it 200?
Nope, no twos.
Ones are zeros, that's it.
So I have a question. What numbers are there not besides 2? Like what?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Binary is only zeros and ones.
Just 0 and 1.
101.
On and off.
On off.
Wait, would it be?
Yeah. Add 1, 1, 0, 1.
Oh.
1, 0, 1.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to add one more to it to get up to 6. What is that?
Is it 1, 1, 0, 1, 1?
Nope. 1, 1, 1, 1.
You're guessing now. Here, I give you credit for knowing, and now you start guessing. Yeah.
It's 1, 1, 0.
Yes, 1, 1, 0. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 0 is 1. Bring down the 1.
1, 1, 0.
Okay, so what's this one?
0, 1 plus 1.
Ah, come on, that one's easy.
Yeah, 1, 1, 1.
1, 1, 1.
1, yeah, all ones.
I remember how much this tortured me too, so. Interesting.
We did this for about 3 months in math, and it was, this is the easiest of it.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so what's 1, 1, 1 plus 1?
1 plus 1 is 1, 0.
Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1, 0. Okay, so 8 is 1, 0, 0, 0. So those are counting, and it's on that handout that I gave you. You can look at them. You don't have to copy it down. It's all in the handout if you want it. Okay, so now let's start doing this problem over here. 1 plus 1 is what?
1, 0.
Plus 1?
1, 1.
Put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1? 1, 1. 1 plus 1 is what?
1, 0.
1, 0. Plus 1?
Is 1, 1.
Put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1?
1, 0.
Plus 1?
1, 1.
1, 0.
Put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1?
1, 0.
1, 0. Okay?
1, 1.
So now I want to check this. So how can I check it? Well, what's 1, 1, 0, 1 in decimal?
1, 1, 0, 1?
In decimal.
9. No, 1, 1, 0. 13.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Is it 13?
1, 1, 0, 1? Well, 1.
1, 1, 0, 1. Yes, you're right. It's 13.
Yeah,
sorry, I was looking at the wrong thing. That's 13.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
1, 0, 1.
Then what's 1, 1, 1?
Well, that's 7. Because if
that's 7.
Six, that's
what's 1, 1?
3.
3. So if I add that up, what have I got in decimal? 23, right? If I add that up in decimal? Because I'm getting the decimals, that gives me 23.
Right.
So what is this down here? 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. 16 and 4 is 20, and 2 is 22, and 1 is 23. So this adds up to 23 in decimal. So I added it correctly.
That just reminded me of an Abbott Costello.
Were you trying to get 23? Have you seen that?
No.
That's all right.
I picked the wrong number, apparently.
This is an Abbott Costello. Google it.
All right, definitely.
Okay, so now we're going to try
23 in Abbott Costello. Same thing.
This is where you're going to lose half the class.
Yeah, nah.
Oh, I thought you were going subtraction.
I'm going to next.
Because that's where everybody gets their
work. Okay, go ahead. Try that one.
Okay, one.
No, just try it on paper or something. And then we'll try doing it. This is actually very similar to the one we already did.
Yeah, it is.
I meant to get one of them that came up at 4 and I messed up. If you don't have paper and pencil, I strongly suggest you ask the person next to you to share. I have a pen up here, if anybody wants it. But paper and pencil is a wonderful thing.
Keep all those ones and zeros.
No, I couldn't do this in my head.
I was trying to just do it.
Huh?
I'm ready to
enter. Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, and that thinks it wants a battery. All right, come on. Answer.
I have an answer, whether it's wrong, whether it's right.
It's all right. I am plugging in my battery right now, and now I'm all set. Okay. So, what do you think the answer is, folks?
101, and then 5 ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way? Okay. 1 plus 1 is 10, plus 1 is 11. Put down the 1, carry the 1. Again, 3 ones we now know is 11. So we put down the 1, carry the 1. 3 ones is 11, right? 1 plus 10 plus 11. Put down the 1, carry the 1. I've got a little carried away here.
Yeah, you did. I realized that after I said, oh, this is hard. No,
that one was easy, okay? That one was definitely a lot easier. Okay, so now we'll do 10111111101. Let's try that and see what we get out with that one. So give that one a shot. At least by making 4 lines, I'm guaranteed it will go up to 4.
It's no longer in the realm of being able to do it.
I'm not telling yet. You're able to carry a lot of this in your head. I'm impressed that you don't know without a pencil. Not me, I want a pencil. Of course, I can't add 3 things in decimal without a pencil, so.
forget how to do that quadruple one.
What?
I forget how to do the quadruple one.
I break it down.
You got two ways of doing it, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to look at this one. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Plus 1 is 1, 1. Plus 1 is 1, 0, 0. So, I can either put down the 0 and I carry the 1, 0. That's the way I do it. But you can also carry the 0 there and the 1 one more column over. I just happen to like it this way, but you can do it either way. I can carry the 0 and the 1. So I put down, I have 1, 0, 0, put down the 0, carry the 1, 0. 1, 0 plus 1 is 1, 1. Plus 1 is 1, 0, 0. Plus 1 is 1, 0, 1. Put down the 1, carry the 1, 0. 1, 0 plus 1 is 1, 1. Plus 1 is 1, 0, 0. Plus 1 is 1, 0, 1. Put down the 1, carry the 1, 0. 1, 0 plus 1 is 1, 1. Plus 1 is 1, 0, 0, right?
Yep.
So I'm at the end, so I write 1, 0, 0. Is that what you came up with?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, we can check this by, what is this top number in decimal?
There's 1, 0, I'm sure.
What's this one?
1.
No, what's this top number? Oh. 1, 0, 1, 1.
7.
Nope.
No.
9.
Nope.
Oh, no. 1, 0, 1, 1.
8 is on, 11. 2 is on, 1 11. Is on.
There you go.
8, 2, and 1 are on, right? 8, 2, 4, 2, 1. 8, 2, and 1 are on. So that's 11. What's the next one?
7.
What's the next one?
15.
What's the next one?
5.
So if I add these up, I've got 38, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I check down here. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. 32 is on. 4 is on, that's 36. 2 is on, that's 38.
Ta-da.
So it worked out. Okay? Okay, so now, as promised, we're going to do subtraction.
Oh.
1, 1, 0, 1, minus 1, 1. Okay, so I start out, and I say 1 from 1 is 0, right? 1 from 0 I can't do. So what do I borrow?
A 1.
I borrow 1, 0, just like in decimal. What do you borrow? You borrow the base, basically. So I borrow 1, 0. 1 from 1, 0 is 1. Nothing from this is now nothing because I borrowed. Nothing from nothing is nothing. Nothing from 1 is 1.
1 from 10 is 1. Oh my God.
Good news, it gets harder.
Oh my God.
So 8, that top one is what?
Mine.
8, 4, and 1, that's 13, right? Minus 3, 10, right? And this is an 8, and this is the 2, and that's 10. Okay? So that's the subtraction. Okay, give that a try and see what you come up with.
binary.
Okay, anybody else think they got it? Okay, so let's try it in a different color.
Look in there,
one from zero I can't do, right? So I make that a zero and I bring over 1, 0. 1 from 1, 0 is 1. Now I can't subtract that. And the problem is I can't borrow from the thing next to it.
Right.
So I have to come over and make this a 0 and make this a 1, 0 because I borrowed it for over there. Mm-hmm. And then I need to still borrow, so I make that a 1 and I make this a 1, 0, right?
Hello,
so
Lord.
1 from 1, 0 is 1. 1 from 1 is 0. 1 from 0 I can't do, so I have to borrow and get that to be a 1, 0. 1 from 1, 0 is 1. Nothing from nothing is nothing, and I bring down that 1. And I think I got it right. Did anybody get the same answer I did?
No.
Okay. I have 1 vote for me. All right. So now let's go and try doing the validation.
So even though there was a 0 there, and it became a 10, because you brought it over, it becomes a 1?
No, because I had to borrow from it again. I had to, you know how, think about how you do it in decimal. If you have to go over 3 places, it has to circle back twice. I mean, this is really, the technique is the same technique you use in decimal, whatever technique you use in decimal. It uses the same technique. The only difference is that a 1, 0 is made up of 2 ones instead of 10 ones. But the technique is the same, yeah.
If it helps, in any base number that you're in, you're always borrowing the base number. So
right.
When you borrow from a higher thing, you're always borrowing the base, because that's what makes up that number.
That's right. So in decimal, it's 10.
Right, 10.
And there's 10 digits. In binary, it's 2. You always borrow the base. You're right. Okay, so this one is what? 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. So that was what? 48, 56, 58?
Yeah.
And this one is 15. So if I subtract, I've got 43, right? So let's see if I got 43 here. I've got 32 and 8 is 40, and 2 and 1 is 3, so that's 43. Okay, now I'm going to tell you a little secret that I shouldn't tell you. But before I tell you that, I am going to also tell you that to get anything higher than a 70 on this assignment, you have to pass in the work. Okay? So, if I go to accessories and I go to calculator and I come up here and I say I want to use the programmer calculator, it lets me work in a variety of numbering systems. So I can say I want to work in binary, and I can put in the binary numbers and do the subtraction in binary and come up with the answer. And this is a wonderful way to check your work. Okay, however, you should be able to do it without a calculator. So if you want anything higher than a 70, you have to pass in your work. This is one time when passing in your work, you can either write it out and pass it to me on paper, or I will take paper, in other words, or if you have the ability, just scan it and send it to me, and that would be the better way of doing it. But I will reluctantly take it on paper if you do the work on paper.
Wait, what assignment is this?
The assignment that just went up last night. You gotta know, if I'm gonna teach you something, what am I gonna do? Come on, I'm gonna give you an assignment. That's the way the world works.
Never show it to us again.
Okay, so that's binary. So now let's look at hexadecimal.
Go ahead and laugh at me, whatever.
Okay, hexadecimal is base 16. Okay, so I'm going to have binary, decimal, and hex. Actually, I think I'll put hex next to binary. Okay, so I'm going to start out and 0, and in hex it's 0, and in binary it's 0. Nice thing, okay? 1 is the same all the way across. 2 is the same in hex. 0 twice. I lost track of where I was. 9, 9, 1, 0, 0, 1. Okay, so now I'm starting to get into decimal 10. Hexadecimal, I run out of digits, okay? And hexadecimal is base 16, so I need 16 digits. So far, I've got 10 digits, I've run out of digits. And so what they've decided is a capital A is gonna be the next digit, okay? So, and I count. Okay, so that is an A, then 11 is a B, then 12 is a C, 13 is a D, 14 is an E, 15 is an F. And now I have used up all 15 digits, 0 through 15, okay? So the next thing after that would be a 16 and a 10, because I count 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F, 10. Okay, because there are 15 digits. Pat's smiling.
I just remember Corey last year.
What F?
And this goes to here. Okay. Now, the reason we need hexadecimal is notice something here. Every hexadecimal digit can be expressed with 4 binary digits. And every set of four binary digits equals one hex. And that, in a nutshell, is why we need hexadecimal. Because in the ASCII code, the ASCII code is 8 binary bits. Okay, ASCII has 8 binary bits.
You missed a C.
No. 8 binary bits, or binary digits. So, if I have ASCII, and we'll look at that eventually, if I have 8 binary digits, that very nicely divides in half into 4. And so I can express the first half with one hexadecimal digit, and I can express the next half with one hexadecimal digit. And we will look at that, probably not today, probably next Tuesday. Okay, so we'll look at ASCII code and come back to why we're doing this next class. But for now, just the reason we learn hex is that ASCII has got 8 binary bits. And 8 binary bits can be broken down into 4 and 4. And it's a lot easier to read the hexadecimal equivalent than it is to have to read the 8 binary bits. Okay, so that's the reason that we do this. And why am I taking pictures since I'm writing on the thing? But that's all right. So, if you go back to my handout, if we come down here, binary, and there's my binary counting, hexadecimal numbering system. Okay, so this is information about hex. Okay, so the one that I've got here, just to point out, is I've got a face value or a place value of 8359. Okay, now, as in everything else, I write down the powers under here. 16 to the 0 is defined as 1. 16 to the 1st is 16. 16 squared is 256. 16 cubed is 4096. Okay? So, like everything else, I have face value times positional value in order to give me the decimal equivalent. Okay, and so I did that here. A times 16 cubed equals 10, because A is a 10, right? So it equals 10 times 4096, which means it is 4,000 or 40,960. Okay, then I multiply the 3 by the 236, and that gives me 768. Then I multiply the 5 times the 16, and that gives me 80. And then I multiply the 9 times 1, and that gives me 9. And when I add those up, I end up with my decimal equivalent. Okay? So this is in base 16, and here is the decimal. A lot more work than it was in binary, because binary was multiplying by 0 and 1. Here you may have to multiply by 4096 and by 256. So it's a lot more work. Okay, so if I have the number B7F, and I want to convert that over to decimal. Okay, So what am I going to do? First, I'm going to write this B7F. I'm going to write 16 to the 0, 16 to the 1st, 16 squared. 1, 16, 256. So now what am I going to do next? I'm multiplying 11, because B is 11, times 256, okay? And then I'm multiplying 7 times 16. And then what am I multiplying?
15 by 1.
Okay. 11 times 256 is what? 11 times 256, that's why you need a calculator.
2816.
Okay, what's 16 times 7?
I was ahead.
352. And that's 15.
Not 350.
Okay, you're right.
Oh, my bad. I added.
It's 112.
6 sevens are 42. 112.
112.
Okay. 42. And 4 and 7 is 11. Okay, so then I add this up. And I have 8 and 5 is what? 13, 4, 9, 2. 2, 9, 4, 3 in decimal. Okay. So that's how I can convert back and forth between hexadecimal and decimal. So let's try another one. Okay, give that one a try.
It doesn't make any sense. That's a letter.
I gotta contact him later. I gotta contact him later. They're like, yeah, I was thinking of you. Trying to add F's and 1's.
I'm not sure that's the way he wants to be thought of. Nah.
No. No. Let everyone else do it first. Then afterwards, we'll reveal the answer like a TV show.
Take it piece by piece. Try going from the 5, from the D, to the E, to the B.
The 2, and then the E, and
yeah,
then the D, person. And the 5.
You can do it the other way around. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
How do we get a number for the E, though?
Well, what's E equivalent to?
197?
No, what's E? A is a 10, B is an 11, C is a 12, D is a 13, E is a 14.
So you got
14.
Okay, we use our fingers.
Yeah. Just think after 9 it becomes letters, and then after 15.
If you remember A is 10,
yeah,
then you can kind of progress from that point, because A is 10.
Yeah.
And F is 15.
Yeah.
So you can go backwards.
This makes perfect when it comes to math. So you're really having a hard time, obviously, just and obviously the math, the assignment's going to help out with that, but you're having a hard time, just keep practicing. You'll get it.
You know, basically what you're doing when you do the math is you're converting the E to 14 and you're converting the D to 13. So you're multiplying 13 times 16 and 14 times 256.
Yeah, that one's mind-blowing. Think of it like each piece is a number, and each number needs to be added up. So like, you know, 2, and then you've got to do that stuff. You got to do like the conversion, obviously, do the mathematics. And at the end of it, you've got 4 pieces, and then you just add it up. It's kind of like a puzzle. Very hexadecimal puzzle.
Oh, it's 14.
Yeah, there is meaning behind this too. I mean, like ASCII. There's a lot to it. Machine code? Machine language?
Oh, yeah, eventually everything gets down to just this massive collection of zeros and ones.
Yeah. So, there is totally use for this.
Within the confines of nanometers, on-off switches. We're down to 20 nanometers now.
Okay, so does somebody have an answer?
You did it without paper?
That's what you're basically doing. Okay, now what's 2 times 4,096? Somebody?
8,192.
8,192. What is 14 times 256? 3584. 3584? Tell me if I'm getting the wrong answers. I'm just writing.
You have it.
What's 13 times 16? I can do 5 times 1.
It's obviously 6.
Okay.
Obviously.
9, carry the 1. 8, carry the 1. 9, 11. Is that right? Did I manage to add it up right?
Yep.
Okay. And in all honesty, that reason I showed you the calculator, you can check your work. I'd like you to try doing it this way, but go ahead and use the calculator to check it.
I don't even know where to get to use the calculator.
Okay, then you can do it by hand. I'm not going there because I don't really want you using the calculator. Okay.
I didn't really want to use it.
So now let's see. We've got 11,989. And if you wanted to then start with the decimal and convert it back. Okay. And basically you're going to be doing the same thing that we've done before. You start out and you say, how many can I use? And you can do divides, you can do subtracts, you can do whatever you want. But let's say we're going to start out with that answer that we just came up with. Yeah, where am I? Or actually the easier one is that one, so we'll start there. So I've got 2943 in decimal. And I'm going to convert that. Okay. So I give you 2943 in decimal, and I want to know what this is going to be in hex. Okay. So I know I've got my positional. 16 to the 0, 1, 16 to the 1st is 16. 16 squared, 256. 16 cubed, 4,096. Okay, and I don't need this next one. But that would be 16 times 4,096, whatever it is. Okay, it's clear looking at this number that I don't need 4,096, right? Because I can't subtract 4,096 from 2,943. So basically what I've got to do is figure out how many 256s I can subtract from 2,943. And you can do divides, you can do subtracts. I don't know why, but I like the subtract idea. So 2,943, and I start out and I say 10 256s. 2560. And that leaves me with 383, right? Okay, so that means, okay, I know I can use 10 256s. Looks like I can use one more. So I go back and I say, okay, I can use one more. 13721, right? So that means I can use 11 of these. What's an 11?
B.
So that means I can use B of these. Okay, now how many 16s? And again, you can do divides too. 16 goes into 127. How many times?
Seven.
Okay, 7, 6, 7s are 42, 11, that leaves me with 15, right? So that means I've used 7 16s, so I can put the 7 there. So as I said, you can either go through this kind of subtraction stuff, or you can go through a divide stuff to come up with the answer. And I have a remainder of 7. So that means, I'm sorry, I have a remainder of 15, rather. So that means I'm going to have F there, because 15 is F. So that's B7F. Okay. So what I'm doing is whatever technique you need to figure out how many 256s I use, I need, then taking what's left and saying, how many 16s do I need? And then what's taking what's left and saying, those are ones.
Where did the 16 come from?
16 to the first. 16 to the 0 is 1. 16 to the first power is 16. 16 squared is 256.
Right, but is that because you have a 16 there?
No, this is telling me base 16.
Okay.
That's simply telling me that it's base 16. When we work with numbers, we assume it's decimal. So we don't write the base number down.
Okay.
But when you're working with a variety of numbering systems and you don't know which numbering system you're in, because, for example, 111 could be a binary number. It could be a decimal number. It could be a hexadecimal number.
Right.
And I don't know what it is. So if I write the little number down here, this tells me this 2,943 is in decimal. And my answer up here is B7F, and the little 16 tells me it's in base 16. And in the examples where I use binary, I wrote a little 2 down to indicate I was in binary. Okay, because once you start playing with multiple numbering systems, you don't know
exactly
which one you're in.
Yeah. You don't know if you're adding, subtracting. I get you.
Well, you don't know what numbering system you're in. It's not about adding,
right,
and subtracting. It's what,
right,
numbering system am I in?
Right.
And that little number down at the base is the numbering system that you're currently in. Okay.
I'm just confused as to where you got the 16 from now.
Which 16?
Are you talking about this guy right here? Or are you talking about this guy?
Those 16.
There's a load of 16s.
This guy?
Yeah, like I
said, okay. After I did the subtraction, figured out I had 11 256s, right? What was left was 127. So I said, how many 16s can I take out of 127? Well, one way to figure out how many 16s I can take out of it is to do a divide by 16. The other way is to start with 127 and start subtracting 16s. And I would get up to 7 16s.
Right, but
all right. So place value
2 9 4 3.
And this was I figured out. Okay, I was doing two techniques here, and you can pick and choose. I figured out that this is 10 256s, right?
Okay.
So I subtracted that, and I said, okay, that means I've got 10, but I got a little bit more.
Right.
So this was 1 256. So together that meant I had 11 256s. And I wrote that 11 over here as a B.
I gotcha.
Then I said, okay, now I have 127 left. Well, I can start subtracting 16s, or I have the option of doing a divide. Because either way, I'm going to find out how many 16s. And what I found out was that I can take 7 16s from 127. Mm. So I put the 7 over there over the 16. And then how many ones? Well, there's 15 left. So I put the 15 there
as F.
Just a heads up, I mean, like, just remembering from last class, I mean, you could do the 16, 3, 16, 2. You could do 10, 3, 10, 2 to get that number. Like, it's the same deal.
10, 3, 10, 2, I'm
lost.
To get
the power of 10, the power, I'll just put it over here, like this. So you have 10, 0, 10 to the 1, 10 to the 2, and you can get 2, 9, 4, 3. Like, it's the same deal. Like, for 16, though, I mean, you're going to have it like this.
Okay, I'm getting confused.
Yeah.
What he's saying is that the same technique in decimal.
That's what I'm trying to say.
We just know it by heart, and it's assumed off the bat.
Right.
It's the exact same system, but we know it so well that we don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know that the first position is 1, the next position, we call it the tens position.
Right.
We call the third position in the hundreds position because we're just working with decimal. And so we say the ones position or the units position, the tens position, the hundreds position. Okay.
And that's what that is up there.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've got two.
Position.
The two over here is in the thousands
in
position.
The thousands position.
Yeah. Just kind of want to relate. Yeah, it's all like that. It's all relative.
It's
just the base. You put the base down, and the base is the positional value. You know, you've got to multiply by the base.
But that's what messed me up, though, is because it's got the tens, but then where did the 16 come from?
Because it's base 16.
It's
as simple as that.
Oh, because that's why you
because
put the 16.
Because it's base 16.
Over there.
I said, I want to go to base 16. If I wanted to go to base 12, I'd put the 12 up there, and I'd write powers of 12 down
over there.
Here, and I'd go to base 12.
12. Okay, that's what I was wondering. Like, where did that 16 come from?
Yeah.
And that's the 16 you put over there.
That's right.
It, like, just like the counting, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F. That's 15.
And the reason that they chose hexadecimal for us to care about, as opposed to base 12, is that thing I pointed out to you that I can represent every 4 binary digits with 1 hexadecimal digit, and vice versa. And actually, I either talked faster or you understood faster, because we're going to look at ASCII now. Okay.
American Standard Code for Information Interchange.
Whatever. Okay, if you click on this particular thing, it takes you to the ASCII code. Okay? So, keep that open in some place because we're going to keep popping back and forth to it. Okay, so what we're going to see there is, let's look at the letter A. And what they give you is decimal, hexadecimal, octal, HTML, character. We don't care about anything except right now character, decimal, and hex. Okay? So, A. Okay. A. Yeah, why am I writing that? I want to write over here. A, this is the character, this is the decimal, 65, and this is the hex, 41, okay? So, let's say that I don't know what A is in binary, but I know it's a decimal 65, or I know it's a hexadecimal 41. Well, let's look at hexadecimal first. If I bring this down and I look at it, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, and I want a 41. So this is going to be the 4, and this is going to be the 1, because remember I said that every hexadecimal could be expressed with 4 binary digits. So a 4, if I look at this, 1, 2, 4, 8, a 4 is simply turning that on, right? And the 1 is simply turning that on. And that means I fill in every place else. So I now know that when I hit the capital A on my computer, I am going to be actually writing in binary 01000001. That's the binary code that I'm going to be generating, yeah.
Now, it's split just for clarity's sake, but
that's
after
right.
That, after you put it in 10000001, it goes back to its regular decimal, I mean, binary places? Or is it still split?
Well, it's not split, no. But if I don't want to convert from decimal, decimal says...
Well, that kind of answers my question.
1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So, 65 is what? 64 and 1. All the rest are zeros.
Okay, so after the division, it just goes back to being a
zero. Yes.
Okay.
So, you can look at the code and say, what's the decimal? And I can figure out what an A is. Or you can tell me what the hex is, and I can figure out what an A is. Okay? Decimal, what I have to remember is decimal, I just write the powers of 2 going across. In hex, I say one hexadecimal digit represents 4 binary bits, and so it lets me do it this way. Next week, I'm going to give you an assignment where I'm going to give you a dump of memory. And the dump is going to be in hex. And I'm going to say, what are the characters? When you read this dump, what letters are you reading? What are the letters? Okay? So that's an A. So if you look at the chat again, what's a B? A B is a 66 and a 42, right?
Yep.
Okay, so there's the character, there is the decimal, there is the hex. Yeah. So if I have a 42, what am I going to have? The 42 is going to be 0100, the 4 is the same, right? And now the 2 is going to go 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. 1, 0. Okay. And that also works down here because I would be turning on the 64 and the 2, which get me 66. 64 turned on and the 2 get turned on get me 66. That's a 2 turned on. That's a 64 turned on. Does that make sense? So what's a C? What's a C gonna be? Give me the binary for a C. There's a pattern here, folks.
100011. No?
No.
No. 010.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
0011. I had the extra one. Yes. Okay. So the C is simply gonna change to a 11 right there. That's the only thing that's changing. The C is going to be a 11 right there.
Yep.
D is going to be 100. So now let's go and look at a few of these. I think the best thing, okay. So an A was 65 and 41. And it is 01000001. The next one up goes to 10. That's a B. So it goes to 66, 42, 01000. Yeah, 00. C goes to 67, 43, 01000011. D goes to 68, 01000100. So I keep going up like that as I go. Okay? Now, let's go back to the chart and look at Z, for example. Okay, Z is 90 and 4 and 5A. Z is 90 and 5A. Okay, so what is it in binary? Let's do the 5A. What's a 5? What's a 5?
Five is 0101.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a 5. Looking at the hexadecimal, what's an A?
10.
And how do I represent a 10 with 8, 4, 2, and 1?
1010.
81010. Yep. That's an A. Okay. Now looking at this, okay, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Let's look at the 5 digits here, and what do you guess those are going to be? Since Z is the 26th letter of the alphabet, maybe those would be 26. And they are, if I do it in decimal. 26 in decimal. So if I take 0101, 1010, and I say I'm going to look at this in decimal. 16 and 8 is 24 and 2 is 26. So basically what I've got here is uppercase letters. Uppercase letter. This is uppercase. The code is going to be the uppercase letters are going to have a 010. And then the next 5 digits are going to tell me which letter of the alphabet it is. So Z is the 26th letter of the alphabet, so it has the 26 in it. C is the 3rd letter of the alphabet, so it has the 3 in it. Somebody stayed awake nights thinking up this plan.
Okay. The Ipsedic, which I told you not to look at in my handout, was based on an old card system. Back in, because we got one more minute, so we don't have a lot to do. Back when I first learned to program, we used cards. And they had 80 characters in them, so you could put 80 characters going across. And they had a combination of punches that you could put on to make particular characters. And they had different codes for the group A through I, J through R, and S through Z. They broke it down into A through I is 9 characters, so that the punch holes allowed you to go down and punch through 9. These rows with the 0 for a second down through 9. And they would put punch characters in. And because 9 was the highest number, they put a code at the top, and then they could go 0 through 9. And so they broke up the alphabet as A to I, J to R, S through Z. And that continued on for a long time. Ipsedic did that as well. Then ASCII said, wait a minute, there's 26 letters in the alphabet. Let's just go from 1 to 26. And that's what they do in ASCII, is it just goes from 1 to 26. And they said, okay, what we'll do is we'll use the first 3 characters to tell the classification. If you look at a lowercase a, and again, we will pick this up next time, but if you look at the lowercase a, you will notice that it is 61, 97 and 61. So there's a different code in there, but it's still the first character, but it has a different code to tell you that it's a lowercase a. Which is why in JavaScript, when I say you hit the N on the keyboard, it knows, as far as it's concerned, capital A and lowercase a are 2 totally different things. And capital N and lowercase n are 2 totally different things. To be continued on Tuesday. Okay, the week, not next week, I'll be here next week. I don't know if you remember, but the first week of classes, I told you I was going to be out 1 week in April, and that's going to be the week of the 6th. Now, Pat will be here from 9:30 to 3 for help sessions. So those 2 days that I'm out, Tuesday and Thursday, Pat is going to be available for help sessions in this room and then over in K118 the way he usually is.
Yeah.
So the class is going to be an online class, and but there's going to be help available during class time and before and after. So you can see Pat for that.
Come on back.
On your mark, get set, go.
I'm still trying to